From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 24th, 2009. Each week, this podcast explores news and views on all things location. This is Dina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica in the Rocket City of Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we look at what the world might expect from Twitter's rollout of its geolocation API last week. Does the API portend more or different applications than those add-ons that were already in existence? Does it mean more money for the microblogging tech company? We'll have a look after a word from our sponsor.
Develop and deploy web applications with ESRI web mapping APIs to integrate online maps and GIS tasks. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mapping APIs.
So the big news on Thursday was that Twitter formally released its previously announced API for geolocation. And what that means is that they documented a way to add location information into tweets and to get that location information back out. And of course, that's aimed at developers. API is application developer interface. So it's really not, it's for programmers. It's not for us regular folks. The big question is, what are those developers going to do with this API? Part of the reason that this isn't as exciting as it might have already been is that there already have been solutions from third parties that could add information into tweets and that could get it back out. Things like Brightkite was one that was used, Fire Eagle, things like that. Allow that same kind of capability, but now there's one official Twitter way of doing it. And that's really one of the real pros here, is that there is a way that's the official way. There's a standard way that ideally everybody can use and use together. The second real pro of this is that if people choose to turn this on, and you do in fact have to turn it on, it is by default off, to capture location and add that information to your tweets, there's potentially going to be an awful lot of geotagged 140 character or less messages being sent from all over the world. And that's a very interesting potential database to use to build applications. Now, the downside of all this is that, first of all, people have to be comfortable with the idea that they want to turn this feature on. You know, there's always those privacy issues. So one of the downsides is that Twitter has a very low barrier to entry. I mean, to get an account, you basically need an email address, and that's about it. And all of a sudden, you can fill the world with your 140-character pearls of wisdom. And I'm saying that sarcastically, because, of course, there's a lot of very uninteresting tweets out there. And one of the things I fear now is we're going to have a whole lot of very uninteresting and potentially spammy geolocated tweets. So that's sort of what we're working with, and that's sort of setting the stage for what I really want to talk about, which is, what are people going to do with this API?
I think that's the only way to approach it. We're in really early stages of how this type of social network is going to play out for the business professional. I think the big question for me is, how do we scrape what's relevant and put it into a feed that our geospatial professional readers are going to use? And I'd love to know whether some of the developers are going to be able to do that for us, or whether my own developers will do that. It's separating the wheat from the chaff at this point that I think is on my mind.
I think that's where a lot of the discussion is about how this is going to be used. I mean, certainly the simplest kind of thing, and this is already being done by developers, you know, since last Thursday when this was announced, which is let's make a map and put the tweets on the map, you know, where they're coming from. Okay, terrific. What's more interesting, though, is filtering by location. So what are the people in my city talking about? Or even more interestingly, and this turns into the businessy side of it, is what are the people in a particular square in town talking about? Is it that they just introduced a new drink at this bar and that's the hot new topic? It's also, I think, going to be very interesting for journalists and any kind of news gatherers when something happens at, say, Fort Hood. Well, I think the information coming from people in that geography is going to have a little bit more credibility or be of more interest than tweets from, say, the rest of the world. So exactly how we parse that and how we use that filtering capability is really going to be interesting.
Yeah, and you know, it really gets to the issue of hyperlocal news, which has been discussed for several years, but there never seemed to be a platform to take the news and distribute it widely. At least there was never a platform that became, that kind of rose to the top and became kind of the place to go for your hyperlocal news. Well, it seems like this may be the platform to do that, and maybe we will see people use it as in the applications that, that you're suggesting, the coffee shop or the people's reviews of movies or whatever. I would like to see it in a more useful setting. I think some of the things that were discussed in some of our background reading about news about where there may be an outbreak of flu, people asking questions about how to care for a flu-ridden person, may give you a premonition of where there's a concentration of flu locally, you know, hyperlocally.
I have to go back to this low barrier of entry, because what we're just describing with figuring out where the flu is based on where people are talking about it, I mean, that's sort of what Google's flu does. It looks where people are querying about flu and sort of identifies those as areas where flu seems to be rising. What's happening now is we're getting a very real-time sense of who's talking about what, and depending on how accurately that location information is captured and shared, we may be able to get down to some very small pockets as opposed to broader areas. We've got to look at who's doing the tweeting. Who is the population that we're culling this information from? So this is another opportunity to look back at who's using Twitter and who isn't in different geographies, in different demographics, in different age groups, men versus women, teenagers versus seniors, to say, is this a valuable subset of the planet to look at, even if it's in a particular geography?
I think the other way that we need to look at it is the recipients, not just the tweeters themselves, but who's going to be the recipient of the tweets themselves. For example, if I'm in a city planning department and I've got a city planning meeting that's going to reveal some interesting news that we want the citizens to relate, does the city planning department, in particular those people who are using GIS to discuss their plans or reveal their plans, do they message in this way to get more people involved, for example? So I think it presents a challenge for not only those who are tweeting, but the recipients. And even though we've got a very low barrier to entry to getting into using Twitter, I'm not sure that people are there. You know, it's like sending a message into an open void and nobody's listening. So I think there's that challenge. And maybe the new API client for geolocation helps bring this closer to people who might actually use it.
Well, there have been, and I think you've talked about how you've sort of hooked up with locals from your area on Twitter, right?
But it's got to be a very narrow part of the population. I think there's got to be other mechanisms to expand that. In other words, what's going to be the catalyst that gets more people using Twitter? Because, again, like the internet of long ago, not many people knew about it. Well, I think Twitter is kind of the same way. And maybe stuffing tweets on a map gets people more jazzed about how to use it.
Well, that brings up another question. And one of the articles that I read was suggesting that the new Twitter is Foursquare. And Foursquare is a social media, I think of it as sort of a game. It has a location aspect where you check in at different locations, and if you check in the most, you get to be the mayor of the coffee shop or whatever it is. And that's been wildly popular. They just expanded to 50 new cities across the world. That's getting a lot of play, I think, because there is a reason to participate in it. It's a game. And there is a reason to attach location, because that's sort of the point of the game. Now, Twitter is some very basic level. It's basic communication. It's email in 140 characters in a public sort of way. You would have a different reason to use Twitter as a communications medium than you would to participate in Foursquare. That's one of the first things I would like to see, is a search for your favorite term, orange juice, and see how that is being discussed across the world. Where are the hotspots for the discussions of orange juice? Well, heck, if I'm the person who makes orange juice, that's really valuable information to me.
And that's the kind of thing that I think we, as from a business sense, people would want to see. I could envision a whole range of applications that people may want to develop. And here, yeah, okay, so here's the platform. Let's see what happens.
Right. Well, and the other half of that is encouraging consumers or potential consumers, if you're a business, or other businesses, if you're a B2B kind of place, to include that tag if that's going to be important to you.
Well, and don't you think that's the type of thing that really hasn't crossed the chasm yet? I mean, you found a couple of applications about retweeting locally from a taco shop, but I don't know if that's mainstream yet. Maybe the geolocation API will help it go more mainstream.
How?
It's simple visualization. People stumble across a map of their locale. Here's the taco shop over here. Here's the coffee shop over here, and they're just, you know, doing searches. I just think it's an easier way to see what's going on locally. I don't know if I'd get that just by reading a series of tweets, because it's like you said in the beginning, it's not filtered.
So it's going to be a visualization, a querying of this big giant database of geotagged tweets. That's what's going to be valuable.
Geolocation is one kind of filter, right? And I think that's this is the start of other types of filters.
So like time?
Well, right. We saw that in some of our reading is the scraping of the timestamps on the Twitter tweets. So there you've got another dimension, time and location, right? There's really a real nirvana of organizing news and information.
That's all the time we have today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know the first Geo Design Summit will take place January 6th through 8th, 2010, on the ESRI campus in Redlands, California. Academics, engineers, and others will meet to discuss how to leverage geographic analysis in the design process. Learn more at www.geodesignsummit.com. If you have questions or comments about today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at All Points Blog or Directions Magazine. Or you can follow us on Twitter @DirectionsMag. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.